And my version of badass Asian dudes is just like picturing somebody who's like super independent, able to do what he wants on his own terms.
Are you willing to, you know, like live by your own set of rules? Are you willing to, you know, like break out of societal customs?
And I was doing so many things to impress so many other people, and all the way to the point where, you know, I started my own company. I started three companies.
I believe that we're all massively creative people. You may not be creative in the way that I'm creative, or like you're not going to articulate and communicate in the way that I will, and I don't expect you to.
When I was growing up, I was the definition of the nerdy, shy, introverted Asian kid that was picked on and bullied all my life with two tiger parents who didn't even give me a choice. I just had to be a doctor.
My parents came to America with no money, so I didn't get, you know, this idea of emotional intelligence. They don't know what the fuck that is. Like, it was survival mode.
When you see someone else that looks like you or represents you being emotionally intelligent or training their mental fitness, when you see that, all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, like maybe I can do that too.
Welcome back, Badass Asian Dudes. This is Victor Ng, and this is an episode with former model turned dating coach, Aisin Lee. Growing up as a shy, introverted, scrawny kid with pimples who did his homework and kept to himself, Aisin struggled with dating and talking to women. And immigrating to America when he was 9 years old, he mentioned that he didn't feel confident and worthy enough to date Western women. So after going through his own personal development and coaching and practice, he is now helping professional Asian men attract and date beautiful women from a place of integrity. I'm excited to get into this episode and share the wisdom from Aisin. But before we do, a quick update from our end. We have our merch up and running on our website at badassasiandudes.com. If you enjoy this podcast and support the movement of redefining Asian masculinity, definitely go cop yourself a hoodie and shirt or bomber jacket, and all the profits we make from that will go directly back into this podcast and supporting this brotherhood. And also download the 9 Ways to Become Your Own Badass Asian Dude, which is a workbook and collection of wisdom from our previous podcast guests. Again, you can find all of that at badassasiandudes.com. So with that, let's get into this episode with Aisin Lee.
Welcome, everybody, to our latest episode of Badass Asian Dudes. Here with me is Victor Ng, another one of our Badass Asian Dudes co-hosts, and I'm Michael Wu, one of the admins and moderators and hosts of the Badass Asian Dudes podcast. And today we have on a very special guest, Aisin Lee, a dating and relationship coach. And we want to like hear all his perspectives about what dating as an Asian guy is, and any tips to that. And yeah, Aisin, do you want to introduce yourself a bit?
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys for having me today on this show. Very excited to be here. So yeah, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Aisin Lee. I'm in Austin, Texas, and I am a dating and relationship coach for guys. Majority of my clients or students are Asian. And because, you know, I myself come from an Asian background, I feel like, you know, I'm able to teach them better, whereas like other guys, like maybe like a Western guy or a white guy, isn't going to be able to see the insides or have those, perspective that we have as Asian men.
Sure. We always like to lead off this podcast with the question, what does being a badass Asian dude mean to you?
I like that question a lot.
Yeah.
So basically, I guess in my opinion, I feel like a badass Asian guy just means someone that's very high status, provides a lot of value for his community, as well as someone that's very respected within his community and has a high self-worth of himself.
Awesome.
I'm curious then, for everybody who doesn't know you, how did you become a dating relationship coach, dating and relationship coach, and why did you choose this path?
Of course. That's a great question as well. Basically, when I was younger, of course, you know, brought up as an Asian guy in America, I guess my parents didn't really stress the importance of dating, and I had to really figure out by myself. So growing up, obviously stumbled along, and then went to college and learned through, like, you know, books, videos, and trainings, and even some coaching, and eventually understood, like, how to talk to women and, you know, start relationships, all that. And, you know, throughout my journey, I found that a lot of guys like myself with similar backgrounds, with immigrant parents, are still struggling, and maybe some of them are still currently seeking help or would like to improve that aspect of their lives. So that's why I felt like, you know, it's kind of my duty. I don't want to sound like, you know, I know everything, but I just feel like because I know a lot more than most people that I'm helping. So I feel like I can provide a lot of value to my community, and people need this. So I wanted to, you know, and I'm happy doing it. So I just wanted to, you know, help people and make this, you know, what I do.
Yeah. What was there something specific within your life then that really sparked this path? And like what was the, like, I'm sure you didn't think about doing this, you know, forever, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up, like, what was that shift to say, oh, this is something I'm missing even for myself and want to help others with?
Yeah, of course. So whenever, you know, after high school, I went to college, studied engineering, and eventually graduated with an engineering degree. But I guess in my junior year and senior year, I didn't really want a 9-to-5 job. So I moved to LA and, you know, started modeling. And, you know, starting out was kind of hard because obviously I didn't know anyone in the industry and wasn't getting gigs or bookings very frequently. So I had to make ends meet. So, you know, I was thinking about my skills. Obviously, I wasn't going to get a full-time engineering job and handle modeling on call, like castings and such. So I had to use my other skills, which was, you know, helping guys with women. So basically that's what I did. I took guys out, you know, on a night of the outings, and then introduced them to women and helped them talk to girls. And that's how I started back in 2016.
Hmm. You know, I think it's just really interesting because I would say, like, for me personally growing up, I also struggled with dating, to be honest. And, you know, I think it's really common for a lot of Asian men, not that all Asian men suck at dating, but it's common because of the stereotypes that we have and just all of the lack of representation that really, you know, adds to our lack of confidence and all these things, right, that we can always dive into. But for me personally, I was, you know, really missing a lot of that confidence, and yet, like, didn't really know what to do about it or how to seek for help or even, like, you know, to still have my own style and still be authentic and not, you know, do any manipulative tricks or whatever, right? I actually did start going into the pickup artistry lane and kind of started reading the Red Pill subreddit. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but a lot of these, like, tactics and things to, like, game women was a lot of kind of, it did help in a lot of ways, but I'm curious, like, what your perspective is on all that.
Right. So I guess, obviously back then, I think when I first got into, you know, learning about relationships and dating, it started with pickup, right? Because that was what was around back then, like 10 years ago or like 15 years ago. So that's what the community was about. But nowadays, those things don't work because I feel like building your character and your integrity is more important, because even if you were to use, like, tricks or, like, attractive, you know, skills to, you know, attract a woman, quote unquote, they're not going to stay with you because they see you, like, as a person. Eventually they're going to know that that person that you were portraying to her in the initial stages wasn't you, and you're never going to go far in the relationship. And with that, so basically what I do is help them with their mindset and also build them, from the inside out, so making them more of a high value person and make themselves feel more worthy about themselves.
Yeah, for myself, I mean, when I was growing up, I had terrible luck with relationships. I mean, I would get into patterns. I didn't, a combination of like, I didn't have that confidence when growing up. And then, I mean, my friends pointed me to pick up. I never really got into it, but I would just fall into these patterns where I like heavily crush on someone and then like only focus on one person. And then like, I guess become like needy in that way. And it would just never work out. Maybe they'd be initially okay with it, but just like based on, I was like awkward. I didn't know what to do about it. But I did want to ask you, like, what do you think is like specifically about being an Asian guy is different in dating and relationships? What is that different perspective that you're able to offer people, like guys like us?
Of course. So for example, currently, because a lot of guys, they feel like, you know, living in America or like the Western world, they feel like they're kind of, I don't want to say this, but like unworthy of dating Western women. And because, you know, coming from an Asian background as well, I also have felt that way because I was not confident and basically it took me a while to gain my confidence. So I can relate. Basically, I walk in their footsteps. I have put on their shoes in the past. And now I understand like how to overcome those obstacles and make yourself feel deemed worthy. And a lot of people think it's kind of a disadvantage to be Asian and date in the Western world, whereas like we should see it as a positive trait, and a lot of benefits come out of that. Things like, you know, you're more cultured, you speak a different language, you age better than our Western counterparts. So we're basically like, I teach people, like I say that, hey, we're basically like limited edition of things, whereas like everyone else is a common collection. And if you're looking at this from a girl's lens, they're going to see us as someone that's unique, someone that's exotic, whereas like, you know, they're just dating white guys or they've been dating white guys all their lives. Every Tom, Jerry, John is going to be so bland and so plain comparing to like a Johnny Nguyen or like Alex Lee or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you feel like is something like, what do you think that is really that missing thing then within the mindset of those who struggle with approaching people or even just being themselves in a relationship? Like, what about the mindset do you help with most?
So, you know, to understand that, we have to first go back to our childhoods, right? Understand why we have those insecurities or why we have these limited beliefs, right? A lot of times it comes from our parents not really giving us a lot of positive reinforcements as we did something right. And they critique us, you know, on certain things that we did wrong. So that really forced us to be more critical of ourselves and not believe in ourselves. I saw this interview with two girls. One of the girls was Chinese American and she did, I guess, ballet, I think. And then the other one was a cheerleader. And this was in a college setting. And then the college professor asked him if they were any good. Chinese girl said that, oh no, like she was just okay. Whereas like we later find out that she's won like a lot of awards, competed nationally, etc. And then the cheerleader, the American cheerleader, she just thought like she was like the hottest shit in the world. Whereas like obviously she's just a college cheerleader. So it starts from the mind.
Wait, sorry, I lost you there then. Like you mentioned, you brought up the two girls in college. Mm-hmm. What was the mindset part?
So like basically Chinese girl was the ballet dancer and then the white girl was the cheerleader. And then the college professor asked each of them if they felt like they were any good at what they did. And the Chinese girl was like super humble, like super reserved and said that, you know, she felt like she was okay and good enough, right? But then like obviously she was had a lot of accolades and awards for being like one of the best in the nation. Whereas like the American girl was just a college cheerleader.
Yeah. So I hear the point that you're trying to make is that culturally we have a lot of humility. We value humility and modesty and in our culture and to not like stick our head up and be arrogant or show off and whatnot. And so in terms of dating, it sounds like that gets in the way of being able to, you know, communicate your value. to others.
Definitely.
Is it because you need to put forward your positive traits in order
to one of the things is that we as Asian men collectively don't feel that we're good enough, meaning that we might be great on paper, but we personally feel like we could do better. So that's why we feel that girl is way better than me. And we tend to put other girls on a pedestal, whereas Western guys, they feel like they're more equal and they feel like they have accomplished a lot more of a higher self-esteem.
You know, it's one of those things, because I can totally hear, you know, anyone listening, especially those who identify as Asian, that there's resistance to adopt that generality, right? Like the fact that, all Asian men are low confidence or whatever. But it is a very real thing that's even subconscious that comes into our culture, especially for those that are part of the diaspora, meaning that you're not from the country that you were, that your ancestors are born. One of my friends really made a point to say, sometimes you just need the boldness of a middle-aged average white dude, you know, they just have a certain level of privilege that, you know, they do have the boldness of not caring about what other people think sometimes, or even just what do family think? So just all of those factors. So it's interesting that culture has a play in our confidence level. How do you first, actually, before I get into the how stuff, I do want to actually hear more of your personal story, what was your struggle? What was the pain points that you were starting to feel for yourself and your own mindset and your own confidence?
Yeah. So growing up, I lived in the suburbs, pretty white America. 70% of the kids that went to my school were white. Pretty typical, the movies that you see about high school in America. And obviously, there's only a few of us that are Asian at the school. And of course, people used to pick on me. And even before that, I think I moved to America when I was 10, and obviously 9 or 10. Yeah. I look different. So didn't speak English. So people picked on me. And obviously because of that, there was definitely insecurities from looking different, acting different, not understanding the culture, the language. And eventually, in high school, I had to do some sports to try to fit in more and develop my body and understand what it is to be a man, in the Western world. So that was one of the things I had to overcome and understand. And other than that, just understanding how to talk to women, that was the second hurdle. Once you knew how to talk to the girls, it's that's the easy part. But talking to the women is a whole another game. So understanding what women like, speaking with words that they understand, you can't just, even though every guy has a lot of testosterone, they want certain things from girls, but you can't just demand it from them, right? You gotta play their game, you gotta talk to them, you gotta be sensitive, you gotta, understand their emotions. They're more emotional creatures, whereas us guys are more visual, so visual things like that. And also I had to overcome insecurities in the looks department. Obviously right now, I'm very comfortable with the way I look, but it hasn't always been this way. Growing up, I was pretty skinny. I guess at one time I was 5'10", 125, basically a walking stick, and had pretty bad acne growing up as well. Probably all my cheeks were pizza. And
I had acne too.
Yeah, just learning how to take care of your skin, your diet, hygiene, and your body. And that's a total step up, because once you're able to do that, you develop discipline, routine, and good habits. So these are some things that every successful guy has. Think about it. You have a routine of when you wake up, what you do in the mornings, what you do at night, and those things become you. And, eventually we just get used to our routine, and that's what I mean with the person I am today. I kind of got off point there, but yeah.
No, that was good. I like that. Sorry. Go ahead, Victor.
Totally. I appreciate that too. And a lot of what we want to, well, let's see. I guess I do still want to hear more of, like, is there a specific point in your life? Is there a story? Is there something that was something that you could, maybe a story for yourself that you can take us through into why it's so important for you to start developing yourself from the inside out?
What was it like becoming a man, basically? Like, or from my side,
yeah, of course. I mean, there wasn't any like one instance that made me like snap or like become motivated to do something that, you know, was scared of. I've always wanted to, you know, be the best version of myself. Even growing up, I wanted to, you know, had high aspirations and goals for myself. You know, I thought I was going to be someone eventually, right? And that kind of like became part of me. But I guess what you wanted to know was, you know, why I guess how like I became this person that you see today, right?
Just, just more of like the, because I don't obviously know you before, you know, you being part of the Facebook group and posted there. And I don't know what your sort of backstory was. So like kind of, you know, what was that journey like? Maybe just to help us describe and really relate to who you were that was struggling so much.
Okay, yeah. So, like I said, probably sophomore year of high school, 5'10", 125, skinny. So, you know, I wanted to play sports, wanted to play basketball. So I put on some weight, right? I started weightlifting, eventually got up to like 145, and then I started wrestling, did track. So throughout that journey, I was able to put on muscle and, like, you know, started to look better physically. And then I went to college, obviously. I had like barely no game, so I had to learn how to talk to people, like communicate effectively. That was the second thing. So like in my life, I like the theory of aggregated marginal gains, which is improving 1% in every aspect of your life constantly. So that's what I did. And second of all, it's in college, it's more like interpersonal skills and talking to people, and also like develop more of a diet routine and skincare. So boom. I guess physically I look great now. This was probably junior year of college. And then obviously, you know, growing up, my mom actually had a store, a little boutique store, fashion store. And I got inspired back then because she was always into fashion, reading magazines and learning about these new trends. So I guess one of my dreams as a kid was to become a model. And that's exactly what I did. And after college, and that's why I did the things I did leading up to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the things I changed about myself.
Did you have any sort of crazy interpersonal strikeouts with women before
all this happened? I probably got rejected over 1,000 times in my life. Wow. Not just with women, but in business, in jobs, everything. And what I learned from that is, you know, there's always going to be rejections, and nothing's going to be easy. Nothing worth getting is going to be easy. Nothing's worth getting is going to come easy, right? So what you have to do is find out like what you want and think, look at your life right now. Let's say you want this job or this girl, and right now you're single or you're unemployed and you're trying to get there. Like, let's say you get rejected. What's wrong with that, right? You don't have it now. You're only going to, there's two results. One of them you're going to get it. The other one is you're not. And if you don't get it, you're going to be at the same place you are right now. So nothing ventured, nothing lost. So there's zero pain, zero, losses. There's only, it's a win-win situation. Even if you don't get the job or the girl, you're still practicing. And the next time it's going to be so much easier because you knew exactly what to expect. You know, now you know exactly what to expect for next time, and you're going to be better prepared. So.
Yeah, no, I think there's something about, especially when it comes to approaching women and getting numbers and getting dates and having long-term relationships, that, like, I think we obviously with the system of marriage, right, we expect that we have this one partner that we're going to have forever. And so whenever we go in with that approach to say like, oh, I have to get this one number because there's just so much pressure on it. But I like what you're saying here in that, you know, all those forms of rejection is just experience for you to, you know, be able to work on that skill and find the right person at the right time. So it sounds like that's what you were working on after you built up the physicality, then you started building the emotionality, started communicating or learning those communication skills. Like what helped you through that? Did you take any specific classes? Did you work with mentors or what really helped you develop that more communication?
Yeah, definitely. Read a lot of books. One of them being like, yes, like everyone's read this book, The Game. And then others than that, like watched a lot of videos, took some private training. Back in the day, I couldn't afford a lot of like big name trainers. So I had to just work locally. So did that. And also one of the things that really helped me was getting into sales as well. So with sales, it's basically kind of like a numbers game. You learn to communicate more effectively, understand that rejections aren't the worst things ever, because after that no, you're that much closer to getting to the yes. It's like basically a numbers game, like I said. So that was really helpful. And I believe investing yourself, like I've probably spent tens of thousands of dollars on courses and coaching alone, and I felt like I've definitely learned so much, and it's definitely cheaper than school. Like I spent more my 4 years of education in college formally, but I never gained the skills that I wanted, or not enough skills to make me the person that I wanted to be. So don't be afraid to like invest outside of school, or like if you want something, just go for it. Like that's my mentality all along, and I try to do that as best as I could.
Yeah, I find that sales is an important skill to have in life in general. I think most interpersonal situations are all about some kind of sale. Not all of them. There's like in the long term, it evolves into something else. But those initial meetings, almost all those sales techniques, and they can be honest and coming straight from your heart, but they help. I want to ask you too, because I mean, I felt when I was growing up with dating relationships, I didn't really have any sort of role models or mentors. Parents weren't super helpful. I had friends who were in relationships, but I mean, I had no idea how they got there. They didn't really give me any good tips on like what to do or anything. Do you find that's one of the big things that like Asian guys struggle with? Having totally. Like people to learn from?
Yeah, totally. Like, I guess we don't talk about that with our families. Like we don't ever talk about sex or like, you know, getting girls with your dads, you know, no one talks about that. So even with friends, it's kind of a taboo subject. You know, even if you see them with a girl or, you know, dating, they're not really going to give you good advice as well, because most of the time they don't even know how they got there. And that's one of the biggest struggles as Asian men, because we feel like there's nowhere for us to turn to. And it's not really our fault, because as kids, we weren't groomed to be, groomed to date. We're groomed to go to school, respect your parents, you know, learn as much as you can, get the best grade so you can go to a good college and get a good job. And eventually the girl's just going to turn up after 30, right? You're going to get married and have kids. That's what we're taught. And there wasn't time for girls, right? We had to study.
Sweet.
I'm like, now I'm wondering for you, like, well, for me, I think a lot of resistance, I will be honest, of the dating world, the dating game, working with dating coaches, is that it's all more game and just more tricks and manipulation and whatnot. I don't get that sense from you, but in general, I do. Like, there's just a lot of unfortunate people taking advantage of people, but. So it sounds like what you do is provide a lot of the mindset, a lot of the communication skills, and really helping the man internally build up their mindset from the inside out. What Shoot, I had a question and then I totally lost it. Building inside out. Okay, how do you I guess like maybe this might get into sort of your approach or system. I don't know if you have a system or framework or anything like that, but like what is how do you develop develop yourself as a man, but also in a way that is someone that could be communicative and attractive from the outside in as well, all without game or without tricks or manipulation or tactics and whatnot.
Okay.
You don't have to give away your whole trait.
So many questions in one sentence. I'm trying to put it all together.
Yeah, sorry about that. I tend to do that a lot.
So, we'll leave stuff for your coaching sessions too, but yeah. I mean, but yeah, just trying to figure out the tips for developing yourself.
I think I got it. So first of all, we have to accept, you know, being Asian and in America or like wherever you are, that you're not from originally. So once you're able to accept that, you're able to understand and see the benefits and positive traits that you have, because a lot of guys, you know, they try to you know, date in America, they don't want to be Asian, right? They want to be accepted. They want to be like a white person. Whereas like there's so many good qualities that we have, and if they don't accept themselves, how is someone else going to accept them? Or just like if they don't love themselves for who they are, how do they expect other people to love them? Right. That's number one. And also number two, getting to that desired person is you have to be completely honest and transparent with yourself. You can't be lying to yourself, right? If you can't get the girl you want now, don't say, oh, like, you know, eventually the perfect girl is going to pop up and, you know, be right here for me. Like it's set in stone. It's not. You got to say, hey, I suck at dating. I suck with girls. I need help. And be honest with that. And basically one of the exercises that I get my students to do is figure out who you are now. Like I have a whole like questionnaire asking them like what kind of person they are, what kind of personal traits they have, personalities, etc. And then have them write them down. And then also the second worksheet is their desired person. Like where would they want to be? Who would they want to be in a year, right? Write that down. That could be as crazy as, you know, being like the next K-pop star or whatever, right? Just as long as you have a goal, you have a target, you know how to get there. So let's say that one of the easiest ways to do this exercise is look at the girls that you like or you're attracted to and look at the type of guys she's with. And so if you like those type of girls, then obviously you got to become like those type of guys. It's balanced. So without pickup, because you're trying to become a different person, like more of a high value person while like maintaining your values and core morals, right? So that's the goal. That's why we don't need pickup. We don't need tricks, because you are the person that other people pretend to be using pickup. And honestly, I don't remember the last part.
No, yeah, that's good. The last part was more like how do you be that attractive person? And so what I heard was looking at the type of girls that you do want to attract, and then becoming the man that she would be attracted to. What I just kind of, I don't know if skeptical is the right word, but it's, you know, there is the sense of still comparing yourself to another guy, right? You're still looking at, you know, this ideal woman. And first of all, is that ideal woman truly who you want to be with? That's the first question, actually, right? Like sometimes we'll think of like all these hot women like that we actually want, and then want to be someone to attract that woman when genuinely, you know, we're not going to get along with them. That's the first part. But let's say now we do know who we want to attract and try to become the man that she's attracted to. I still feel like that's still not, you know, as authentic or as like how it's not myself. Like I'm still trying to be someone else. How do you sort of address that?
Yeah. So you're definitely going to be yourself still, just a better version of yourself. Let's say that you're looking for someone that's ambitious, who has a job, who has a career, who's good with their family and gets along with kids, was caring, loving, supportive, right? That's a great person to be. Like, that's a great person to have by your side, right? That's a great girlfriend, great wife, whatever. But if you're a person that doesn't have a job, someone who lives with his mom, doesn't clean up his room, how do you think she would, why would you think she would be attracted to you, like, in the first place? You guys aren't on the same level. You guys aren't on the same vibration. Like, she's, you guys both want the same things, but you're not getting, you guys, you're not working towards those goals. Like, people that are similar are attracted to each other. So let's say, like, do you want to date someone who's, you know, doesn't have a job, who, you know, doesn't clean their underwear, or a girl who's not loyal? No, you don't want that, right? You want someone who has good morals like yourself. That's why we're not changing yourself. We're just becoming a better version of yourself. It's like Aizen 2.0. It's like, you know, going Super Saiyan, Dragon Ball Z terms.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking it's like, you're seeing those positive attributes that will get you the goals you want, but then you're internalizing those. You're not seeing those. I'm like, I want to be something different. It's like, I want to internalize those and improve myself. And you're still yourself. I think I kind of get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you feel about the people who say, like, fake it till you make it? That's the way. That's the way to go.
I mean, I know people do it a lot in business, but I don't recommend it, because you don't have to fake it. You can just be like, hey, I'm getting to my goals. I'm improving. And girls love guys that are driven, ambitious. Obviously, not everyone's going to be there. Even if you're at the top, the only place you can go is go down, right? So the journey is actually more fun than getting to the top, because at the top, you have to like try so hard to stay there. Whereas, like, the journey, you're improving constantly.
Okay. So you're not faking it. You're actively working on that progress.
Yeah, exactly.
And even wherever you are on that level, you've got a positive momentum going. Mm-hmm. And
the girls want to join you in that journey as well. Do you guys want to grow together? And they want to see you grow and be a part of that, you know, amazing steps that you're taking to your future and building a future together. That's just something special.
Yeah.
What I get out of that too is that, you know, a lot of what we might, maybe someone listening or someone who found you will be wanting that relationship, wanting that girl, but what you're really helping them with is how to build up themselves and how to help them find purpose, or help them find just other factors rather than the girl to help them feel fulfilled or help them be accomplished in that way. Okay. Right? Because what you said was, you know, the women want the guy who's driven, who knows what he wants as well. So you're helping him find that. Now, what would you say to the guy though, who is like just resistant to working, to doing more of the inner work, right? Like to do more of this, like, emotional intelligence and like learn how to, you know, be vulnerable and talk about feelings. Like, how do you address that part?
Before I answer that question, I just want to go over some other things. So basically I do that in the beginning, right? The first couple of weeks, first 3 weeks. And then afterwards I do actually teach them, like, body language, how to approach better, overcoming approach anxiety, style and grooming, how to get matches on dating apps, texting and the date and next date and things like that, right? So that's the first part. You got to build yourself up and then you learn the skills. It makes it much more easier. So to answer your question, I don't remember your question. Can you say your question one more time if you don't mind?
Yeah. Just for the guy who might be resistant doing the inner work kind of stuff, like how do you take them through that process?
Okay. Yeah. Basically, it's like, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink the water, right? I can give you everything that you need to know, but ultimately it's still your decision and your willpower to make it work. So obviously I can't work with everyone. And if you're not that committed, if you can't be committed, you're not that interested, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. You have to want it first.
Yeah, exactly. I can't like hold your hand and put on a shirt and then make you do this, wake up at this time in the morning and, you know, write out these goals. Well, you know.
Yeah.
How do you figure that out? How do you figure out if a guy that you're potentially going to work with is actually...
I talk to them and see, like, they're able to spend time every week on these things, and they're not, then we're not a good fit. And, you know, I can say best of luck. Hopefully, you know, eventually you become... You know, one of the members of the program, but right now it's just not a good time for us.
Yeah. How do you feel that your program is going for you personally? Like,
I think it's great. Personally, I see a lot of progress and improvements in the students I have. And every week, actually, I try to see like if there are any like things, weaknesses, or certain areas that I need to cover more. And I make more videos, and I put out my new monthly videos every month as well. So I'm constantly improving it. And obviously, right now, it's not perfect. And definitely want it to be as best as I can, but I don't think it's ever going to be perfect, because every month there's going to be new things I think of and new techniques I'm willing to try out with new clients. So just always a work in progress. And but just like yourself, you got to be improving. You're not growing, you're dying, right? Same thing with the program.
Awesome.
As we're coming towards the hour here, I do want to hear more about the program and kind of how, like, again, more of that like approach or something that just at a high level, how you take people through this process. But before we do, I want to ask, like, what is one thing that you still don't have an answer for? Or something just to, in the name of vulnerability here, is a lot of what we like to have on the show. But yeah, just like what is something that you still don't have an answer for or feel like you're vulnerable in even just expressing?
Personally or like with the program?
Both.
Okay, personally, Facebook ads. I mean, I know how to do it, just that it's hard to target the Asian people, which is my target audience. And because we don't have like a certain audience, you can't target like by race anymore on Facebook. That was hard for me. And a lot of people, like, they're not that interested. They think, you know, they're gonna spend, you know, $50 and get something, but this is committed, big commitment, and with your time and financially as well, because if you want to go somewhere, you have to commit yourself fully.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that. So that's, I guess that's a struggle for them as well. But with the program,
to be fair though, actually that didn't sound personal. that's,
I mean, it's not personal. Like, this is my living, right? I have to pay for the bills are paid. The lights are on, you know, so it's definitely personal. I think about it every day.
So personally, though, that means it sounds like you are feeling a stress and anxiety about
at times,
you know, being able to stay. But how about then personally, like just outside of business, what's something that you don't quite have an answer to?
I mean, I feel like I've pretty much figured out everything I wanted to figure out, to be honest. And if I don't, I'm going to try my best to figure it out as soon as I can. I'm a person that likes to solve problems, and whenever a problem comes up, I want to solve it as quickly as I can, or else there's going to be more problems and I won't be able to have time to fix the first ones. So that's what I do. And I'm not shy about, you know, admitting my faults, and when I do have faults, I'm okay with sharing them, and I want to improve on them.
Yeah.
That sounds like a struggle to figure out how to, you know, craft your message and reach people.
Yeah,
a bit so that,
yeah. But I think I'm going to figure out by the end of the month, and hopefully, you know, if I don't, I'm hiring a coach to do that for me.
Okay. Got it.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Aysen. It's been interesting to talk through all these topics here and really get to know you. So tell us more about how people could find you. Maybe tell us more about your program that you help people with.
Definitely love to connect on Facebook. You know, I would love to reach out to everyone that I connect with. I usually like try to send them the first message and get to know them better. Feel free to add me as a friend on Facebook. You know, I'd love to talk. And before I go into that, I actually have a question that one of the members of the group wanted me to answer on this call. So he said, how to accept yourself and overcome the loss of confidence from rejections from girls that are out of your league. And I want to answer this question by saying that first you have to understand that, you know, you're Asian. You can't change the fact that you're born like this. So you have to embrace it. That's step one. Understand there are a lot of benefits of being Asian. Like I said earlier, you age better. You know, on paper, you probably have a lot more money than average person living in America. Have a good job, right? And you have security. You come from a good background with a lot of culture. And he said, how do you overcome the loss of confidence, right? The low self-esteem whenever you get rejected from girls that are too pretty. Obviously, if you feel like that, feel that way, then obviously you have to improve yourself and be at that higher level so that you feel like you guys are on the same level and not they're not out of your league. And so how to deal with rejections? Obviously, you're not going to get every girl you talk to, or you're not going to vibe with every girl you talk to. And that's okay, because sometimes you're rejecting them as well, because you want to make sure you have a high standard when it comes to talking to women. And like I said earlier as well, every no is closer to a yes. And right now you don't have the girl. So by talking to a girl that you like, you're actually giving yourself more chances and more percentage, higher percentage to getting the girl of your dreams eventually. So just know that you're a work in progress, and things are going to be okay as long as you do the work and accept yourself for who you are. And the sooner you do that, the sooner you're going to be better and love yourself more. And other people can see that. Once you love yourself, your energy radiates outwards and more positivity is going to come your way. So hopefully that answered your question, his question.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you reaching out and we had a little fun chat too.
See? Yeah.
I remember that. I love that. And yeah, I don't know. I've heard, and I somewhat think that there's, you know, no such thing as a league. I mean, there may be, maybe you don't, with you as you currently are with, maybe you wouldn't vibe or you wouldn't fit well with someone else. But I feel like if you're always able to, you know, develop and improve yourself and improve your mindset, improve your wit or personality or whatever, that at the very least that you can leave a positive, like positive mark on anyone you interact with. I don't know. That's what I think.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think there's something to like to even question, like, why do you think they're out of your league in the first place? Like, exactly. why are you making yourself smaller, right, compared to them? Because kind of like putting them on a pedestal, but also making yourself not. It's our own perception. That's really what's going on. Yeah. So, great question though. We probably could have started with that, but. Share more about your program and how people could get in contact with it.
Yeah, of course. So basically I want to help everyone, but the majority of my students are Asian as well. So I guess it makes sense because they feel like, hey, someone looks like me. They feel like they, you know, I understand their struggles, which is true. And I really help them that way. So I do have personal coaching and group coaching. So one-on-one coaching is basically, I want to tailor to the student and, you know, focus on his weaknesses and, you know, really make them stronger and become the person that he wants and get to his goals. So basically before I work with the person, I always ask them, hey, so what are you looking for? Like, what kind of results would you like to get? Right. And then I tailor the program to get the results that they want. And so basically we talk about mindset, confidence, visualizations and affirmations, body language, how to overcome approach anxiety, what girls want in a guy, how to approach girls, how to start a conversation, what to say to get her phone number, how to end the conversation, as well as, you know, how do you like not make the conversation too boring and lose interest. Go over style and grooming, like health and fitness, how to present your best foot forward. Basically, you yourself is like a resume, like you're applying for a job. You want to make sure you have the best resume, right? Why not do that for your personal life? Because if you're looking for love and looking for a wife, then that person is going to be with you 30, 40, 50 years. Whereas a job is only like on average 5 years. So most people spend more time looking for a job than actually a girlfriend or wife. That's, you know, I don't understand, but it's the same thing basically. Number seven, like, you know, talking about dating apps, how to attract quality women from dating apps. Like I talk about what's the difference between online dating and in-person dating, and talk going over personal, perfect picture hacks, perfect bio, and what to do once you do get that match and how to send the perfect opening message, as well as standing out from the rest of the guys on these apps. And the best thing about this is actually getting the girl to message you first. So that makes it a lot more easier for you guys to talk. Talking about dating as well, how to turn a number into a date, what to say to keep the conversation interesting. I go over like a lot of examples. I have videos for those, as well as like PowerPoints of like successful texts that I have in the past from students as well. So, and how to escalate sexually over text, as well as how to resurrect dead conversations and never get ghosted. or like minimize your chances of getting ghosted. You know, never, no one's gonna never say never, right? Also going over like the date, obviously how to ask a girl out, what to wear to your first date, where to go, what are some best times to go, what to say on the first date, questions to make the conversations flow, how to build rapport and escalate physically on the date. I see a lot of guys, they will go on a first date and they would treat it like as an interview. Like they would ask girls like 21 questions. And at the end, they try to go for a kiss and it never works because the girl's like, hey, like, I don't know you. What are you trying to, why are you trying to put your lips on me? And there usually is never a second date because of that. So understanding how to take steps and moving in that direction. So after that, we talk about how to do the second date, what to wear, what are some red flags, and what are some flags that, or like green flags or green lights, that she's good for a long-term relationship, and how to vet out the bad girls from the ones that you're actually trying to attract and start a long-term relationship with. And then after that is relationship building and maintenance, keeping a partner interested, talking about love languages and understanding and communicating in the relationship and compromising with each other and also being happy together. And the last week is lifestyle. So just going over like reevaluating your goals and targets and then managing your results and expectations for the future. And boom, that's a comprehensive program. And, you know, I tailor it to custom needs and making sure that I can help everyone that way.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot of content. I mean, I guess people are just going to have to reach out and talk to you to, you know, figure it all out. But it was super great to have you on today, learning a little bit about you and your background and, you know, having our little chat today. So, and this was Aizen Lee, and on this episode of Badass Asian Dudes. So see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it, Michael. Appreciate it, Victor.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Aizen Lee. If you enjoy this podcast, please do consider sharing it with a friend who would benefit listening to this conversation. Also follow us on Instagram at Badass Asian Dudes Official. If you'd like to collaborate with us and this movement to redefine Asian masculinity, do message us on Instagram and let us know about all the other badass Asian dudes you have in your life. Also, don't forget to visit badassasiandudes.com to subscribe to our email list and get a discount for the merch that we have on our store. You can also find the link there to join our Facebook group of over 1,300 other badass Asian dudes to connect and learn from in brotherhood. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.